Join us as the Student Ministries Advisory Team discusses family ministry within student ministries in the discipleship podcast, Building Stronger Families. The Student Ministries Advisory Team consists of team leader Stephen Jones, logistics and communications Kaylee Bishop, bivocational and discipleship Josh Lafferty, and evangelism and interns Brittany Gallivan.
When it comes to student ministry, there's been a lot of trends over the last few years. We've watched student ministers who get a calling, or those who come out of college, those who come out of training, and they're excited about serving the kingdom of God. They're excited about serving students, and they see all the potential of this generation, and they come into a church context, and they begin to have this mentality that I am the discipler of this teenager, that it's my responsibility over the next 4 years or the next 6 years that I'm going to be the one that disciples this young man or this young woman, that leads them into a relationship with Christ. And what happens over the course of time, and I've seen this happen, unfortunately, where you have men and women who come out with all the best intentions. They want to see the kingdom of God established in their community, and they come in with guns blazing, ready to take charge of what's happening. But over the course of time, they have this mentality that it's my responsibility to change this child's life. It's my responsibility that in the next 4 years or 6 years, that they're going to be a fully devoted, committed follower of Christ. And what happens is, that's a very risky prospect, because you can invest all the time and energy you want to into that child, but they're going to have to make the choice. They're going to have to choose to follow Christ. And you have 30 hours a year, maybe. You go on trips, you spend time, okay, add a few more hours to that, but we don't have the influence in that child's life like anybody else, like their parents would have, or like their home life would have. And so when you begin to have this mentality, when you start in ministry with the mentality that you are the one who is responsible for saving this child, who is responsible for raising this child up, you set yourself up for two problems. First of all, you set yourself up because you know that they may not be as committed to the process as you are. Mm-hmm. But the second problem is going to be that after 4 or 5 years of doing that with multiple students and not seeing the fruit because you believe that you're responsible, and not every student's on that spectrum, you believe you're responsible, you're not going to see fruit, and then you're going to begin to burn out. Because you started with the wrong idea. You started with the wrong mentality. It is not our responsibility to disciple those students. That's radical. I know that feels harsh and sharp, but Scripture tells us. Deuteronomy tells us, Moses, the Mosaic Law tells us, when you see these things happening, you teach your child on the road, you teach them in the home, you plant the Word of God in your environments, and you raise your child. Mm-hmm. The book of Ephesians, Paul's letter, tells us that the work of the ministers is to equip the saints to fulfill their calling. And so I believe there's a very scriptural truth that the parent is the primary discipler of the child. And if you can begin to teach a youth worker that the right mentality is to start by equipping mom and dad, to love mom and dad, to encourage mom and dad and say, I'm here to support you as you fulfill your calling to disciple Johnny and Susie, then that takes the pressure off. You no longer are responsible for that child's salvation. Mm-hmm. I think that's the trajectory for ministry, for youth ministry especially.
One question that I have, and maybe y'all can help me answer it, is your church, you may see their parents at church, and they may be even somewhat involved, but let's say at our church, their parents may not even, they may be unchurched, we may never have met them before. How do we equip the parents that are lost?
Mm-hmm. There's one concept within this family ministry focus that we have that I really love because I think it answers your question, and that's spiritual parenting. You know, we have a lot of people in our church who are not going to be your traditional parent. They might be single, they might be married but not have any kids, they might be older, their kids might be already out of the home, or they might not have ever had kids. And those people are still a part of this family ministry concept. They are just as valuable as the parent is in this child's life. And so that's where you have spiritual parents come in. And so like in your situation, you have kids that might not have their parents involved in the church, but you have spiritual parents that can come in and be that influence in their life. And they can be a part of the church and they can really see their role within the family ministry concept. And I just love that idea that it's everyone within the church is working together. You know, it says if it takes a village to raise a church, or it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a church to raise a disciple. It's all of us together. And I love that.
Well, what we noticed is with Mission 615, we did a fishing rodeo, and these kids are from the project, Section 8 housing. They're like three apartments high. They don't even have grass at their complex most of the time. So once a year we take them fishing, mm-hmm. and like they don't know how to bait a hook. They've never touched a worm. Of course, you spend most of the time like unhooking their lines that are tangled. That is the truth. Last time, a girl even got hooked because they went back and she got hooked. But anyway, it was so cool to see these kids be kids because they live such adult, immature lives for being so young. And so that's a part of discipleship that's huge, just practical, being fathers to the sons and being parents and teaching things that they should have had and they didn't. So discipleship is more than just, let's sit down and let me teach you the word. It is that. But it's, let's do life together. Let me teach you the basics of like life skills. Yeah. Let me teach you how to be a man or a woman of God. Like it's a huge concept. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The word presents a pretty good picture of identity for children. And mm-hmm. that is identity typically comes from a father figure. And so because we're looking at a generation, we're dealing with a generation that don't have a lot of fathers. Right. There's an incredible lack, especially in certain circles like where you're at, where mm-hmm. I am, there's an incredible lack of fathers. Yeah. Even if there's a father in the house, often he's not a great father figure. Right. So you have a generation of teenagers who are simply looking for identity from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that the church has to begin to fill that role and teach the concept of sonship. Mm-hmm. In the family concept is, what if there's no father? What if there's nobody teaching a son that you're supposed to be a son? Mm-hmm. And teaching what that means, how you walk like a son, talk like a son, live like a son. Or for a daughter, teaching the same thing to a daughter. And so part of the church's job and the church's role is to begin to fill that void. And part of being a father is just being there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not... You know, nobody gives you a manual. Did you get a manual? Became a father. Nobody gives you one. You just
be nice.
Yeah, I mean, you figure it out. So it's kind of the same way in the church. Is, well, what do we do? Well, what does a father do? What does the father do for mm-hmm. us? And then you go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that for me, my dad left when I was one, so I was very young, and we communicate, but it's more like a friend level. My mom never remarried, so I never had a man in our household. And so it was really cool when I met Bishop Manuel Pate because he said, I'm supposed to be your spiritual dad. And I was like, cool, what is that? Like, I don't know what that does. It sounds elementary, but I was in my 20s and I never had a father. You know, Paul says that I have many teachers, but not a lot of spiritual fathers, you know. And he actually, in my heart, I just didn't trust men. They all took advantage of me. Either their authority was abusive or, you know, and so that actually, him like praying a father's blessing over me, equipping me, training me, being there at the hospital when my mom was dying, like mm-hmm. things like that, that's why I'm in ministry today. That's why I understand God more because of the spiritual father that I had. Mm-hmm. And that radically like changed my life, mm-hmm. you know, so.
This is radical. And I think when we talk about it, we know the traditional youth ministry programs and events and activities that have been part and parcel of youth ministry for decades now. Mm-hmm. We know that's what it is. People hire a youth minister, they hire a children's minister, and the expectation is, okay, you're going to create XYZ program. We know that that's not new. I'm not against that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's wrong. I think what we need to do is when we start, and we had this conversation earlier with a pastor, that the programs are not bad.
Right.
But what's your philosophy behind those mm-hmm. programs? Yeah. The curriculum that you choose, the programming, the events, the processes that you create are going to be contextual. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a cookie cutter everywhere you go. I'm asking the question, who are you making totally responsible for discipleship in this child's life? Is it Pastor Y, or is it Mom and Dad? Mm-hmm. Because if you start with Mom and Dad, is the mm-hmm. those are the relationships that are the discipling relationships. If you really believe that, that will change everything that you do, mm-hmm. programming, events, and processes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you're empowering Mom and Dad to do that. Mm-hmm. I think it Go ahead.
We actually, there was the very first woman who Pastor Eric Anderson, who started Mission 615, literally just took a van out into the streets of Nashville. And the first child and family that he picked up, the mom wasn't saved, had no interest, and the children got saved and went home. And then the mom came, the mom got saved, so the children helped lead the parents to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I think kind of in our context, if they're not in church, maybe it's even equipping the children. They may have that spiritual parent. The children can go home, and that may be somehow people get saved. She runs our whole preschool program right now. Her name's Sharon. Wow. Yeah. And so, like, what a difference. You know, I know it sounds backwards, but God can use anybody. And yeah. Sometimes the children, they just don't even, they have a boldness because they just believe who God is, you right. know. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a backwards but a cool way to do it at the same yeah. time.
You know? Especially when you have... when you do have the parents mm-hmm. that are involved in a church, like mm-hmm. you were saying that your focus is on equipping the parents to be the primary disciples in the family, that creates a great dynamic within your church leadership mm-hmm. to work with your men's director and your women's director and your children's director and create that team concept that you're all working together to make these disciples, mm-hmm. whether it's the student or the child or the parent, you're all working together to create this family ministry concept.
I feel like in our youth group that a lot of times parents might be intimidated because they spend a lot of time with us.
Right.
It's been very important for us to say, hey, listen, I just want you to know I back you up. The rules that you have in your yeah. home, I'm not here to compete with you. I'm here to yeah. be a bridge to help you in these teenage years that are awkward, that are hard, that are, you know, teaching how to be under authority and always backing the parent up, but yeah. letting them know we support them, letting the parent know what we're teaching on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, so that they can teach it at home. And sometimes that opens the door for you to teach the parent that
right.
sure. in a way, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And talking about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, you can really take it and simplify it, and you understand, you look at it and you say, well, what do I have to do to equip a saint? What does that process even look like? Mm-hmm. And I think that, especially in youth ministry, this is very applicable, but you can just take it and break it down, and you understand that, first off, we don't change anyone.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't matter how well I preach. It doesn't matter how good our worship is. My program is never going to change a person. Right. And ultimately, it is experiencing the presence of God and then that cultivating such a hunger inside of them that even if I don't have a good discipleship program, I heard a pastor say one time that you cannot stop people who truly want to become discipled from being discipled. No matter how good your program is, no matter how bad your program is, they're going to get there mm-hmm. because there's such a hunger on the inside of them to experience the presence of God and to see what God wants to do in them so that they have a hunger for the word and they have a hunger for prayer. And so it doesn't matter what program I have. I can't create that. But as a youth pastor or as a minister, one thing that I can do is I can seek the face of God to cultivate an atmosphere where his presence resides in our ministry on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. And I can teach kids what it is to seek him, what it is to seek out his presence, what it is to pray. I can teach kids what it is to read the word. And I start there, and then I allow God to do the rest.
And what we're all saying, this is a radical concept, but it's not difficult, I don't think. Yeah. I think it's a matter of us changing our minds. I think the programs that we have in place are by and large great programs.
Yeah.
But it's saying, okay, how can I use our programs to equip mom and dad? When it comes to teaching, it's as simple as saying, hey, mom and dad, this is a series that we're about to start, or this is the book that we're working through, or this is the truth that I want to hit mm-hmm. for the next month. And then giving that information, communicating with mom and dad through email, text message, whatever the means works well in your context, but just saying this is where we are right now. Every chance you get, you know, we can reinforce this truth together. Yeah. And allowing them to have insight, allowing them to have input, this is what we're going through as a family right now. And then saying, let me come alongside you and partner with yeah. you and help you in that. The events that we come to, allowing parents to partner with you and be leaders, be sponsors, be chaperones mm-hmm. and say, I want to be involved in what my child is doing. And then me having the security to say, okay, how can I serve you as you try to disciple right. your child at Youth Quest, at Accelerant? Mm-hmm. And we talk about the handoff. That's been a big thing. A lot of the questions now that we're getting, the handoff from children's ministry to youth ministry, yeah. youth to college and young adults and men's and women's ministries, it's going to look different.
Steve, I like how you said it's a mindset. You know, changing your curriculum or starting a new program or getting a cool new building, those things aren't going to create true discipleship. It's a mindset. We just have to constantly be looking and praying for opportunities to involve those parents, whether it is their true parents or whether it's a spiritual parent or it's a spiritual mentor, whatever that looks like. We have to be aware of the opportunities that God creates for us and take advantage of those.
The bottom line, that when it's all said and done, discipleship is about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's about relationships that are intentional, that people are pouring into others for the sake of a mutual journey towards Christ.